From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senator Max Baucus is trumpeting the cause of Russia. He wants the United States to repeal its Jackson-Vanik legislation, opening the path to the former Eastern Bloc nation to become a trading partner in full and a good standing. And a grand jury in Chicago has subpoenaed the CME Group in relation to the failure of MF Global. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then I'll tell you how students in the School of Architecture on this campus are learning to be frugal and efficient with resources and doing good works in developing nations at the same time. Hey, and don't forget, Drew Lerner will be here at the end of the half hour as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report to take up the agricultural weather forecast. It is, after all, public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures were mostly higher. The nearby March wheat at $6.64 and a quarter, up two. July soft red at $6.80 and a half, up a penny for the day. July hard red in Kansas City, down 1 3/4 at $7.17. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby March futures, $6.56 and a half, three higher. May at $6.58, up 3/4. July $6.60 and a half, up 1 3/4. And December futures, $5.68 and a half, a nickel higher. The March contract, $5.78 and 3/4, up 4 1/4. March soybeans, $13.13 and a half, up 8 1/4. The May at $13.20, up 7 1/2. And July $13.27 and 3/4, 8 cents higher. August $13.17, up 14 1/2. And November beans, $12.89, up 0.5 cent. Bean meal at $3.51.20, up $4.70. Bean oil at $54.09, down 33 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the April at $129.75, $1.47 1/2 higher. June at $127.22 1/2, up $1.02 1/2. And March futures today, $157.22 1/2, $1.47 1/2 higher. April futures at $160.17 1/2, up $1.52 1/2. Lean hogs at $89.42 1/2, $1.40 higher. In the May futures at $97.75, 97 1/2 cents higher in Chicago, 400 pounds. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $106.93 a barrel, up 39 cents. Ethanol at $2.26, that's 0.3 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.60 and 0.4, up 8 1/2 cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel, 3 1/2 cents lower at $3.18 and 0.8 cents. Gold futures on the day, down $77.10 at $1,709.90. That's $1,709.90 a troy ounce. The dollar at 78.7. 4 up 0.47. The CRB index at 322.43, down 0.69 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says it'll be mostly sunny this afternoon. It's absolutely gorgeous outside, if a bit windy, with a southwest wind at 26 to 31, gusting all the way to 47 today. The high, 64 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 33, breezy, with a west wind at 13 to 23, gusting to 38. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy, a low of 33 degrees. It'll be breezy on Thursday with a west wind at 6 to 11 miles an hour during the day, and sunny, a high of 56 degrees. And then Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 41. Friday, showers likely, a possible thunderstorm or two. Mostly cloudy, a high near 59 on Friday. Friday night, a chance of rain showers before midnight, and then a chance of rain and snow showers after midnight. Mostly cloudy, a low of 32. Chance of precipitation on Friday evening set at 30%. Saturday, sunny and 42. Saturday night, cloudy and 27. Sunday, partly sunny and 42 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy and 27 again. And Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 47 degrees. Monday night, 37 and clear. And on Tuesday, sunny skies, a bit breezy. The high back up to 60 in the month of March.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, on the phone line today. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, it is just really gorgeous out this afternoon. And many people in the office today talking to you about moving grain?
Well, believe it or not, we did have quite a few people come in the office in between the, you know, the trading day. The market, of course, did see the continuation of market strength. We did see the March contracts across the board in the corn, soybeans, and wheat gain on the deferred on the expectations that deliveries will be on the light side. And also, it might be some of the cheapest grain you can buy in the Midwest in the nearby March contract. The general feeling in the marketplace, of course, is that commodity funds bought 6,000 beans, 1,000 wheat, 3,000 corn, and we contribute a lot of the soybean strength to black box buying, computer buying. And, of course, the other factor was when Chairman Bernanke spoke to, I think it was Congress, the House of Representatives, he basically said there was no need right now to expand the money supply. We did see gold, silver take a big plunge, but the grain market, particularly beans, stayed pretty strong.
So it appears that the economy, based on Bernanke's statements and maybe some of the numbers that have come out of the economic side of our world, is beginning to turn the corner. Will that be good for the marketplace over the coming months?
Yeah, I'm really a strong believer that a strong stock market helps the corn and soybean and wheat market a great deal. A good strong economy equates to good demand, high employment, a good meat usage. So those are all positive aspects, and it allows and gives people confidence to make investments.
Now, on the flip side, fundamentally, we're still probably looking at a very large corn acreage planting this season.
Yeah, you know, we do continue to hear about certain areas about somebody might plant a few more beans based on the corn-bean spread, but in central Illinois, the name of the game is corn, and I base that on the changes in the farm cash rent, so to speak, and also the gross most dollars, and, of course, a lot of improvement in the corn hybrids. The big factor here, too, is of course, this is going to be one of the largest corn acreage since World War II. And at the same time, we will probably see one of the smallest carryovers in old crop corn. So there is this monumental difference between cash corn and the price of new crop corn, and I think that's going to continue for quite a while.
I know, generally speaking, what that means is nearby or the old crop should be higher and new crop should drift lower, certainly after we get into the months of June, July, August, maybe and into September and October. Your viewpoint on how low that might be and how much of a differentiation there could be between those two prices?
Well, we did see definite profit-taking today in the corn spread, and that happens from time to time in the speculative community. It wouldn't surprise me to see that spread go, more. And it wouldn't surprise me, sometime in the May, June, July timeframe when it gets the tightest, so to speak, we could see, another 20, 25 cents. And, of course, the magic question, is that going to be basis or flat price? And that's the big guessing game for a commodity speculator in Oakland, Illinois.
Ag Forum last weekend, you mentioned some of those numbers, the 94 million acre. But one of the things that was written down in the proceedings that were released suggested that there would be a pretty decent corn price above $5 cash for the coming year, the marketing year starting this coming fall, but that would be generated by upfront sales or mostly by pre-harvest sales. Would you be of the same opinion?
Yeah, it's a good point. And I ask a think tank firm, Informa, you know, there was 10.4 million acres last year of prevented planting. We're basically going to plant the total acreage, about 10 more million acres of planted acreage in the United States. And, of course, this a tremendous incentive to plant row crops here in the U.S. is around the world. My hunch is that if we do raise a good crop and come out with a good wheat crop, we could see sub-$5 futures into the fall of the year. We do know that the Chinese are probably going to restock their corn inventory, and they'll do a lot of it at harvest time this coming fall. That makes the most sense. This nearby corn buying we're seeing is probably just spot buying for some commercial users. It's profitable, but we don't see the 4 and 5 million metric tons that probably will take place, at harvest time.
Well, Paul, I'm looking awfully forward to having you on Commodity Week this week and talking to Murray Wise about land prices.
That's always a wonderful subject, and, he's one of the trailblazers of market price forecasting in agricultural farmland.
Thanks so much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. You can always hear Paul again, if you'd like, off our website. The address is willag.org. You can visit that on your computer. If you have a smartphone, try this one. m.willag.org, no www in front of that. Or if you have just a regular phone and can't get to one of our web pages, try this one, 217-333-3434. It's all about the service here at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming is with us now, Dave Dickey, to take up the Ag News.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, a Democrat from Montana, says that Congress needs to repeal the Jackson-Vanik Amendment as it applies to Russia and to grant Russia permanent normal trade relations status. Baucus says that both of these actions need to occur before the November elections. The Senate Finance Committee has jurisdiction over trade policy. Baucus says that a failure by Congress to lift restrictions on trade with Moscow would only harm the United States, as it would prevent a full flow of U.S. goods to Russia. A financial exchange operator says it was subpoenaed by a Chicago grand jury investigating missing cash at MF Global, the failed securities firm. CME Group Incorporated says in its annual report released yesterday that the grand jury demanded documents and witnesses related to MF Global's failure. It said a separate subpoena came from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the lead federal agency investigating the case. The grand jury probe had not been reported. CME Group runs exchanges where MF Global traded and was partially responsible for auditing the firm's books. Meanwhile, CME Group Incorporated has joined the line of former MF Global customers trying to get their money back from the bankrupt brokerage. Tuesday, CME Group disclosed that a wholly owned unit, GFX Corporation, had lodged a $15 million letter of credit as collateral with MF Global before the brokerage's demise. CME's GFX unit is a little-known proprietary trading group within the futures exchange operator that buys and sells futures, mostly tied to currency. The United States will announce today that it is ready to meet with North Korea to finalize the details of a food aid package. The decision to move ahead on a proposed food aid package covering 240,000 metric tons of foodstuffs followed talks in Beijing last month between the two countries. Mexico's white corn is commanding record high premiums to yellow corn futures on the Chicago Board of Trade due to domestic supply problems brought on by drought. The premiums for white corn are between $110 and $112 per metric ton in producing regions. In addition, yellow corn is being sold for $56 to $58 more per ton on average than U.S. corn futures. Ukraine's agriculture ministry today says that it expects the area sown to corn to increase to 4.5 to 5 million hectares this year from 3.6 million hectares in 2011. Ukrainian winter grains have been damaged by drought and cold, meaning farmers will have to reseed large areas in the spring. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program you can find on our website anytime you'd like. All of our programming, for that matter, at WILLAG.org. Now, up next, you know, working in developing countries can challenge university students to come up with real, immediate, and efficient solutions to problems. I'll have more on an architecture class here at the University of Illinois tasked with designing and building medical facilities in Haiti.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Mark Taylor is pretty well known in building design efficiency circles for the University of Illinois competition projects he oversees. He and his students have designed homes that have fared very well in the U.S. Department of Energy's Solar Decathlon Games. Now, he uses that experience in the School of Architecture classroom and on the ground in developing countries, in places like Haiti.
I really like the challenges. They're very real. They're often looking for the most efficient solutions. I like efficiency. There are challenges that really mean that you have to get engaged with both making, understanding where materials are coming from, and putting it all together. And I think at the end, the designs become beautiful because of that, because of their simplicity.
Right now, Taylor and his students are working on a couple of buildings. One of them is in Haiti.
Yeah, I'm working on it's a midwife training center. It's a very small building, about 1,000 square feet. But it's a demonstration of everything that you would need for an earthquake and hurricane-resistant building.
That's in Haiti right now. In Honduras this summer, Jessica Thielen and her classmates are hoping to be working on a health center, part of which, if all goes as planned, will have been thought up in this School of Architecture design studio.
We really try and keep it as sustainable as possible, so we limit to local materials, things that they have. We are given a lot of wood for free, so we can use wood. We've been looking into compressed earth blocks, so any earth that we excavate can actually be recycled into like little adobe blocks that can be then used in the structure. We use natural ventilation systems through the roofs. We use water catchment systems through angling the roofs so that you can catch all that rainwater and then reuse that. So just anything we can do to keep it as sustainable and as possible.
It is a challenge, but that's all part of expanding the perspective of students and the horizons from which they'll soon enough arrive into the working world. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. this Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Ben Stoller of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, on the phone line. Hi, Ben. How are you today?
Doing real well.
All beautiful but windy. I have many grain trucks making their way into the facilities today?
Yeah, it's been pretty steady. Good day to be hauling grain.
And they coming mostly to the elevator or to also the ethanol plants?
We're seeing a fair amount of movement to both, I would say. Mostly the ethanol plant. The basis has remained firm here.
And what is basis like? How firm is it? Are you at over still?
Yeah, we're talking 22 over the May. We just recently moved to the May futures. 22 over here to Climbers, and at the Delphi elevator, we're at 16 over.
Wow, so you have a 680 price today? Is that right?
Yeah, we are 680 today at the close.
Wow, you are really probably making a draw out of corn in the area. Do you think you'll continue to draw or not?
I think so. You know, we've certainly had a nice rally. We were, up again today, and it's I think guys are... We're getting to some levels that we didn't think we would get to, say, a month to 6 weeks ago. So it's definitely incenting guys to move some corn, but, there's still some tight holders out there looking for that $7 range.
Will they find it, or will they come up short?
Well, I don't know. We're at 680 today, and if we continue to see a rally like we're seeing here, and I don't think basis is going to get a whole lot stronger here in the short term. I mean, I think it remains firm. But, I'm not going to say one way or the other. I think it's certainly possible.
Okay, so tell me about supply in the area, just total supply. Is it that just producers are really tight holders at this point, or are you just that short of corn?
I certainly, in your supply or basis level, would be so strong at this point.
Yes.
I think it's a couple different factors. I mean, there has been a lot of on-farm storage built the past number of years, so I think that's a large part. And farmers are in a good cash position, so they if they don't have to move it, maybe they won't move it until it gets in the price range, so at least the basis level they're looking for.
Right. So when you think about that, that changes the whole theory of how the market moves just a bit, because there are so many producers that may have so much grain storage. Do you think that the kind of basis levels that we have this year can be translated into future years, even when we have not quite as short a supply of corn?
That's an interesting point. If we maybe we are shifting to a different basis paradigm, because with the amount of storage, Does 30 under buy corn in the fall? That is an interesting thought. And I don't know. That is something that is yet to be seen. Last year, basis was certainly strong in the fall. And based upon, I would say, amount of storage and just crop size. So if we get the 94 million acres that they're talking this year, it'll be interesting to see how basis really works this fall. I know right now we're, competitive on the basis front. We're bidding 15 under for fall corn, which is stronger than normal.
Okay, and your total bids for the day look like what?
Cash corn into Climber, 680. Corn into Delphi, 672. And beans to Delphi at 1306.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. And that's the folks at the Climber's facility. Ben Stoller joining us there from Delphi, Indiana. I'll be back in just a couple minutes for most of you. To some of you, we'll say goodbye now. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated when we return.
It's Leap Year Day. It's occurred every 4 years, except in century years not divisible by 400, since Julius Caesar reconciled solar and lunar calendars in 45 BC. Caesar had commemorative coins struck to mark the new calendar. In 1582, Pope Gregory XIII further refined the Julian calendar. By that time, Caesar's calendar had drifted a full 10 days off course. By the way, Russia was the last country to officially convert to the Georgian system, but only after the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. It's also National Surf and Turf Day. The origin of the term is not clear, but it appears to have gained widespread popularity in the early 1960s. On this day in agricultural history in 1736, Ann Lee, founder of the Shakers, was born. To commemorate her birthday each year on March 1st, the Shakers hold an afternoon meeting followed by a supper at which this cake is served. The original recipe advises, cut a handful of peach twigs, which are filled with sap at this season of the year, clip the ends and bruise them and beat the cake batter with them. This will impart a delicious peach flavor to the cake. And in 2004, British actress Dana Broccoli died. She was producer of the James Bond movies, including The World Is Not Enough, where Bond learns arch-enemy Blofeld was brainwashing young British and Irish women to carry biological warfare agents back to Britain and Ireland to destroy Britain's agricultural economy. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated on the phone line to take up the weather forecast here in the Midwest, around the nation, and the planet. Let's start in the Midwest. We had quite a nice little rainfall overnight last night. Do you know pretty much how much we got and how widespread that might have been?
Yeah, the precipitation was certainly greatest in the upper parts of the Midwest, and that was probably the most important area. It's always good to get a little bit of moisture everywhere at this time of the year, but the upper Midwest, of course, had been dry for such an extended period of time that we ended up with a half inch to 1.5 inches of moisture occurring across the region from the eastern parts of South Dakota right on into Wisconsin. They've got a lot of snow on the ground up that way right now. And the forecast is for that storm system to continue for a little bit longer. Now, down in the lower parts of the Midwest, the rains were a lot more brief in duration, but they still managed to generate a fair amount across parts of the region. I think the majority of the region saw totals that ranged anywhere from a couple tenths upwards to maybe around 3/4 of an inch in a few locations. The severe weather that occurred with it was mostly localized, but there were still reports of it. So it was a pretty wild night across quite a few areas. As we go forward from here, I think we will see somewhat tranquil weather occurring again across the part of the Midwest. We've got a couple of frontal systems that will pass through the region over the coming week, and each one will produce an additional light amount of precipitation. Probably the only one that has potential of producing a greater amount of moisture for the region is probably going to be the one that shows up here over the weekend. And as it exits out in the eastern half of the region, probably from Indiana into Ohio and Michigan and Kentucky, we'll probably see a little bit of an increase in precipitation in those areas. As colder air filters in, we might get another little line of thunderstorms to possibly develop. We might pick up another couple tenths of an inch to maybe around 6 or 7 tenths of an inch of rain in some of those easternmost areas. A lot lighter, though, further to the west.
Other than the Corn Belt, which we've just discussed, are there primary growing regions across the planet that you have concerns about?
Well, we are concerned about some of southwestern Europe right now. Spain, portions of Portugal, southern France, even northern Italy have not done very well with rainfall over the winter season. We were so focused on the cold that was going on in eastern Europe and parts of western portions of Russia and Ukraine that we weren't paying a lot of attention to the fact that it wasn't precipitating in southwestern Europe. And they're very dry, and they're rainy season ends in April. They really have to get a significant amount of moisture here fairly quickly. Well, if they end up being fairly dry, if you recall, there was also a large area in southeastern Europe and also Ukraine and southern Russia that were all very dry last autumn. So all of a sudden, we've got a huge amount of real estate that has been or will be impacted by dryness. And so the small grains across much of that region could end up having a tough go of it here this spring. Outside of that, we're still watching, of course, the drought breakdown in southern Brazil, and we have some flooding going on in southern portions of New South Wales, Australia, that's going to make the headlines over the next couple of days. Already more than 4 inches have occurred there. We'll probably see those doubled by the time we get to the weekend.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You bet, and have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
What number is this, Chip? 7A.
Okay, no, I mean, don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise.